It does remind me of a time when I put a fan up near my bedroom, and it just kept hitting and hitting and hit all night long, and it was one of the more. I was done with fans at that point. This might bring me back in.
So our first Timbertop apartment, I got the crappy room, and my dad and mom took the room with the AC. And then, like a year in, my sister and I flipped rooms. And
I remember that, your Harry Potter situation.
Oh, yeah, she had a... So I basically was in a closet at the end of the hall, and I switched to the penthouse, and she was sick because there was no airflow in it. And then everyone in the house got mad when I, at 15 years old, went out and bought like a $400 AC unit because I had my first job ever at Winking Lizard. And I just put up some particle board, and I had the nicest room in the house. And the amount of times my parents were like, you know, we pay rent here. I'm like, yeah, that's cool. That's why you have the AC upstairs.
Can you run the AC as much as you want, Mom and Dad?
You go get it, little buckaroos. All right, to talk about the Browns, she was out at camp earlier today. She had a very special assistant. As well, you know her. This is now her fourth season as a sideline reporter for CBS. She also, and you're going to want to check out, by the way, the Joe Flacco interview, the sit-down interview, which is on CBS Sports YouTube and CBSSports.com.
It was very good.
The quarterback thing got me because I actually got TJ Yates before Joe Flacco did. He got the other quarterback.
What disrespect by those young kids, Aditi. I couldn't believe it.
Aditi on the fan hotline. Welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. Let me tell you, all five of those kids are truly so well-behaved. Like, such a credit to Joe and his wife, Dana. They have spirit, they have verve, they have moxie, but they're also really, really, really good kids. Really polite, really engaged kids, clearly listen to their parents. And it's good, you know, like, they're not robots by any means. They're allowed to have spirit, like I said. But it was so much fun. I had a great time. And thanks for the plug. I encourage any, not just Brown fan, but football fan to go get a better look at it. You know, one of the elder statesmen of the league, really, 18 years now.
Well, probably my favorite. So the first thing I was introduced to was where you quizzed him on the quarterbacks he beat in the NFL. And like he's mentioning, I mean, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady twice. And meanwhile, all I could think was, TJ Yates is the only one I was getting off the top of my head.
How do you know that one?
Because TJ Yates was part of that weird, like the no man's land between Matt Schaub and Deshaun Watson, where like even Brandon Whedon was in there for a hot minute, Tom Savage. But I distinctly remember is TJ Yates going to be the long term quarterback play in Houston because he had the Texans in the playoffs, and then Joe beat him so badly, the answer was clearly no.
Joe, I'm pretty impressed. That was, but how great was that he called his dad? And, I mean, when he said that, he said, I could use my dad as a lifeline. How many quarterbacks in the National Football League right now even know what a lifeline is? Maybe Aaron Rodgers? Do your listeners even know what a lifeline is? Do they know that show, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
I think some of us do.
Jake's our producer, and he's shaking his head no.
Oh, Jake.
That was a cultural moment like you wouldn't believe. Like the remember when the guy wins $1 million the first time, and he's got to be like, hey, Dad, I called you just to tell you I'm a millionaire? That was the biggest flex I've ever seen in TV history.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't promise that I remember exactly that moment, but I do remember phone a friend, and I don't even remember the other things. There's Lifeline, and what else is there?
You gotta pull
the
audience.
Eliminate Two. What was that called?
Yeah, Eliminate Two. That's right. It's 50-50. It was 50-50. Exactly right.
Oh, the 50-50. That's right.
And then you could pull the audience was the other one. But the audience was always right. There was never a moment where you watched where the audience was just wrong, and I always waited for that moment.
See, and I feel like that's the one I would trust the least, but...
Right? I'd look around and be like, wait, 73% of you guys say this? I'm going to go the complete opposite way that you're trying to lead me. All right, Aditi, it's become apparent over the couple days that we've been here. We've been here in and off for a week and a half or so. Joe Flacco looks really good. Do you see it that way as well?
Oh, I mean, he can clearly still throw the ball. I mean, there's no question about that. There's no diminished arm strength. It's funny, my CBS producer just said to me, does he look a lot slower? And I said, no, but let's be honest. I mean, when has Joe ever looked fast? So, like, that, it's not as if we're talking about Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers, where his legs have been a huge part of his game. there's nothing off his arm. And it's funny, Deontay Johnson and I were actually talking about this earlier, just sort of in conversation. Joe Flacco's been in not ideal circumstances the last few years. I had him against the Colts several times last year. He came into a game against the Steelers when Anthony Richardson got hurt, and he engineered a win. Then I had him against Jacksonville, where he almost brought the team back late. And then I had him when he beat Tennessee down at Tennessee. And Anthony Richardson has a lot of talent, yes. But I would argue Joe Flacco was the better quarterback last year. But the Colts are obviously going to give every single opportunity that they can to their first-round pick. And so that's why Joe was in and out. You go before then to the Jets, before he was with the Browns. And he had started the year that Kyle Wilson was hurt. And Robert Saleh was very open with us for why he was starting Joe Flacco over Mike White. And it had everything to do with Flacco's game, with what Flacco brought. I hate to bring this up, but I was also on the sideline for when Joe Flacco engineered that comeback win against the Browns, down by 13 with 2 minutes to go, and Flacco leads the Jets to victory. But again, it's a situation where it doesn't matter if Joe is the better quarterback. That was a club that had a first-round pick at quarterback that it needed to play, and so they were playing. I keep calling him Kyle Wilson, and it's Zach Wilson. I've done this his entire career. Zach Wilson. I wish people would correct me. And anyway, so Joe can still play. Joe believes that he can still play. Joe still feels really strong about wanting to prove that to people besides just his kids. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, I hate that Kenny Pickett got hurt. I really, really hate that he got hurt.
Aditi, when it comes to the quarterback competition, some people have surmised it's Joe's job already. Do you think that's premature on their part?
I do think it's still early. I mean, look, I know that Dylan Gabriel didn't look great this past weekend, but he's a rookie, and a rookie is going to be up and down. And I know that in that building, they feel very, very strongly about what he brings, how smart he is, how coachable he is, the veteran nature he has, even as a rookie. We haven't seen him in live action in any way. And I'm not saying that he's winning the job. I'm just saying we haven't seen him. And we haven't seen Kenny and Joe either. And I think that you want to see how does one of them respond to throwing a pick? How do they respond to a tight moment in a game? How do they respond to being under the lights? How do they interact with their teammates when, every football coach's favorite word, the adversity goes up? How do things go in the joint practice with the Panthers? How do things especially go in the joint practice against the Eagles next week? And so this is the piece where I hate that Kenny Pickett got hurt, because the hamstring's obviously not 100%. The Browns are not going to let him hurt himself. They're not going to let him push him past where he should push himself. And he's got a level of athleticism. He can move in a way that's very, very different than Flacco, just like Flacco's arm is different than anybody else's. I don't know. You'd like to see that all play out. I think it all goes into it.
Maybe this is kind of the way. So I said earlier that I feel like it started out as Joe versus Kenny and then Dylan versus Shador. Now I kind of think, because the injury, it's Joe versus Dylan and then Kenny versus Shador for the last quarterback spot on the roster. Am I also jumping the gun a bit there?
You know, I don't. I think, look, you guys were out there today. You saw Kenny took all the first team reps in 7-on-7 and in the individual drills. And I don't know about that. I don't know that that's where it is. And Dylan Gabriel tweaked his hamstring a little bit this weekend, too. So he's ostensibly a tiny bit limited. I still think it's really, really early. And Andrew Berry keeps saying that he's not afraid to keep four quarterbacks. So that could be the poker face of it, or it could be reality, because if you think about it, the end of the roster is always developmental guys. So why not a developmental quarterback? Why not? Maybe it gives you some extra maneuvering room when a team is desperate for a quarterback, which happens just about every year. Somebody gets a quarterback hurt. Somebody needs a quarterback at some spot. I mean, and maybe that happens in training camp. If you just look around the landscape of the league and how certain quarterback battles are playing out, someone could come calling for a quarterback. There's a lot of time, Phil. There's a lot of time between now and week one, and there's a lot of time between now and the trade deadline.
Yeah, Didi, I agree with you. Like, the time side of this. Like, I was thinking about that earlier. Like, if what we're supposed to judge them the most on is these joint practices, well, they start on Wednesday. They haven't even happened yet. And you still have roughly 5 weeks before week one gets underway?
So much can happen between now and then. And I certainly don't wish any injuries. I don't want any injuries for anyone ever. But that could change the dynamic of things as well. But I think there's sort of... I think the biggest question here is, what does Kevin want his offense to be?
So, Aditi, can you hear about that, Aditi?
No, that's it. And I'm also thinking, you know, like, I will say that I often think about who the early opponents are. I go back to when I covered the Patriots last year, and they knew Drake May was their guy, but they threw Jacoby Brissett out there earlier because their line was such a mess. And they figured, let's let Jacoby take the early hit, not the rookie quarterback. That's not necessarily the situation in Cleveland because they do have an infrastructure in place. They do believe in their line.
Aditi Kinkabwala on the fan hotline here, CBS Sports Sideline reporter. Her fourth season now with Spiro and Adam Archuleta. Also has the great sit-down interview on CBS Sports and CBS Sports YouTube with Joe Flacco. Overall, I've said I think this is a wait-and-see year for the Browns. Like, this is one of those ones where it's just see how it plays out, and then you kind of got to, you know, choose your own adventure as it goes along. How do you see this season for the Browns as we're about a month away from kickoff of the season?
I mean, I feel the same, you know, and I feel a little bit better about the defense than I thought I would. I think Carson Schlesinger is a real thing. I think there's depth on that defensive line. I thought the injury to MJ Emerson was awful, but if you think about it, Greg Newsom can indeed play outside, and he knows this is, you know, in a contract year, he's got every motivation to play well. Let's see about the safeties. I mean, we know who Grant Delpit is, but Ronnie Hickman, I still remember from the preseason a few years ago, he had like two picks in a preseason game, and I was like, who is this young man? So this is part of the development of young players. Who's ready to step up? Cedric Tillman. We've been excited about him for a while. Who's he going to be, a wide receiver? Deontay Johnson, can he go back to being the guy that was one of Ben Roethlisberger's favorites, who had three consecutive years of 80 catches? Or is he the guy that we saw last year? I don't know. The young man Fannin at tight end, he's been, by all accounts, he's very promising. I don't know. You know what, guys? This is the time of year where everything looks good.
So, yeah.
In general, it's rosy. Let's see. Let's see what happens. Let's see what happens this week when they go against somebody in a different uniform and when they finally line up under the lights.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because I was thinking about Deontay Johnson because he's had a really good previous like 4 or 5 days in camp here. And you said you interviewed him earlier today, so I wanted your impression just on how he's thinking, how he's acting, everything like that. But I was thinking, I was like, if somebody, the two of us, both Nick and myself, we had a video when they first signed Deontay Johnson. No chance this was a good idea. This didn't seem right based off of, you know, what we know and what happened last year and quitting on a team and having four different teams in four seasons now and everything else, but he looks good now. And so, like, maybe that's just the optimistic side of things, Aditi, but, like, do you feel like there is a chance 5-6 months from now where, like, whoa, Deontay Johnson got it all figured out when only one team was willing to bet on him?
You know what? I really, really hope so, because I'll tell you, like I said, I go back to his rookie year with him in Pittsburgh. I live in Pittsburgh. He's got a good heart. And he's got good intentions. And I think this game can break you often. And this game can be very, very unfair. I think all that will hold him back is his head and his approach. But all I can say is, from my point of view, it feels like he knows that this is his opportunity. I think that he's been humbled by what happened last year. I think he knows that he bears a lot of responsibility. In fact, he said that to me. He said that, you know, I regret so much. I left a lot of money on the table. it wasn't who I, you know, it's not who he wants to be. It's not who he wanted to be. So I don't know. I hope he can find, I hope he can refine himself and rekindle a lot of the magic that we got to see with him earlier in his career.
Aditi, we have had plenty of conversations about the AFC North. I am higher on the Steelers than some, a little lower on the Bengals than some. I think the Bengals are Thanos. I think they're inevitable. How do you see right now going to the season? How do you stack up the four teams in the AFC North?
So I am hearing that the Bengals defense is significantly, legitimately better, that Al Golden has made that much of a difference. And I'll be honest, Joe Burrow played the position of quarterback better than he's ever played it last year and had to learn how to be a different type of leader because, as he told our crew, it was the very first time in his life that he was playing well and the team wasn't following with him, or that he was playing well and the results weren't coming. So I can't dismiss them out of hand. I don't know about the Steelers. How long will Aaron Rodgers last? What are Aaron Rodgers? Certainly has a lot more around him than he did with the Jets. He doesn't have to do as much cajoling and leading, and he doesn't have a culture where players quit or where players don't know how to deal with adversity, so that's all good for him. The Steelers' defense has disappointed late for a lot of years now. What does that mean? And can T.J. Watt be even more effective playing on both sides? Just the one. I don't know. I'm headed out to the Ravens. I haven't seen the Ravens. I'm saying I don't know, but I hate being in the business of giving a or a prognostication 10 days into camp. So I'll dance around it and hedge a little bit.
Aditi, excellent stuff. It was great to see you here. I thought your assistant kept a good attitude today in the dog days
Thank
of the
you.
Summer. So kudos to that. Your mini-me's adorable. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Aditi Kinkabwala in the previous segment there, CBS Sports sideline reporter going on. Of course, she's done some work here for the Browns in town. She's got a great one-on-one feature with Joe Flacco on CBS Sports YouTube. Definitely worth your time. I was kind of relieved to hear her say there was such a push today and just this weekend of course it's Joe Flacco's job. Yeah. And I kind of felt like if those people had jumped the shark. So to hear Aditi say it's early, I think that's exactly where we should be in the quarterback kerfuffle.
100%. Like I think about what matters the most in a training camp and getting everything underway. And it's like, well, what do you care about? You care about the joint practices. You care about the preseason games. Those things haven't happened yet.
Yeah.
And so if Kenny Pickett has a real chance to go ahead and get this job, he's going to do so starting on Wednesday. He's going to do so on Friday night. Like I just think a lot of people, they wrote him off too soon, and I can't write off the desire that it appears like Kevin Stefanski has to make Kenny Pickett work.
So it's funny. I was talking, we had a great selection of media here today, so I had like 20 different conversations just walking around.
Just going back and forth to different people?
It honestly is like my favorite part of training camp is like I actually did get to see Aditi today. I haven't seen her in I think 2 years because our times just didn't match up.
Nice.
I saw Jason Lloyd. I saw the Cleveland.com, the entire crew. And I saw so many people, but I overheard in one of the conversations, I was talking to somebody on Team X, and they think this person's going to start. And it's interesting because I was talking to somebody on a different team, but so I had heard the team. I don't want to give it away because it's not my story to report.
That's okay.
But I was talking to somebody on a different organization, and they're like, so Dylan's going to start, right?
Mm.
And I was like, okay.
It's just not the read I have at all on this situation.
Like
if you told me today, bet on anyone not named Joe Flacco, isn't the obvious bet Kenny Pickett?
I don't think
Kenny Pickett's going to be good. I need to make that abundantly clear. But based off of everything we know about this Browns team, how do you win the job if you're Dylan Gabriel while looking like absolute doo-doo the way that he has for the past week? How do you win that job?
Because they really like him.
I think they really like Kenny Pickett, too, though. And I think there's enough time for Kenny Pickett to come in there between the joint practices, between the preseason games, to showcase why, if they wanted to not go with Joe Flacco, why he'd be the choice.
I think I think every test that they're giving them, which goes back to what Dylan actually said about how, you know, they're trying to overload you. I don't know that they see his struggles on the field as necessarily a negative thing.
But they need to start doing that.
I think they look at this as like, all right, this is the threshold, and let's see where you are in a week. And I, honestly, I can see that point of view. I disagree with it. I don't think Dylan's a starter. And I think if you start him week one, I'm the least inspired of all the choices. But I think they really like him.
Okay,
and I think they're giving him every chance to steal this
you
job.
You said stress test a couple times. And so when I think of stress test, I think of John Taffer and Bar Rescue, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's where the stress
shut
test.
Shut it down.
He doesn't do the down like you do.
Yeah, but he should.
It is the least
forceful. He screamed it in people's faces before.
Yes, but you do the least forceful shut it down I've ever heard.
Well, because I'm on radio. I don't want
to. Oh, okay.
Taffer gets
angry.
Teach me how. Well, I'm not an angry person. Well.
I've heard you get angry.
Yeah, but I can't be mad in the idea of paying homage to John Taffer, whom I admire his hustle.
So the point is that.
I just want to rage.
Why do they do this? What happens with the stress test that John Taffer does, right? Yeah. They're meant for them to fail is the point. But
and
the other
almost fires the really cute bartender who knows she should be doing better.
It never works out. It always is like, but he does that to embarrass everybody. And he does that to then in turn fix them and get them right. The problem I have with the Dylan Gabriel stress test is that if it's meant to embarrass him and then be able to build him back up and get him where he needs to be. Okay, Stefanski, do we have trust that you can build Dylan Gabriel into being where that top restaurant needs to be? Taffer's got a track record of doing that with every restaurant he steps into. I don't have a track record of Kevin Stefanski making guys like Dylan Gabriel awesome.
I think their rebuttal is going to be, you guys didn't see everything that we saw. You've seen the tip of the iceberg with, you know, X amount of practices. I've been charting him this whole time, and we believe that he's ready to win the job. And I still will say, I don't think he should start week one. But I continue to have to come back to the idea of, like, I think I have to prepare you and everybody in Cleveland that might not like Dylan Gabriel that there's a decent chance he starts week one.
All right, but stay in with the John Taffer restaurant analogy for a second.
Shut it down.
It's like we all just ate at that restaurant that failed the stress test. We all just ate there. It was miserable. There's a reason why Taffer's there. It stinks. And then you're telling us that that's where we need to have the next meal at as well. And it's like, I don't want to eat there. I already ate there. It's not good.
This is like when your wife likes a restaurant and you don't. I think.
No, the point of the stress test is everyone leaves very dissatisfied. Everyone leaves angry. Everyone's upset that that was their choice. No one's like, hey, this might work out. This might work out.
Has Joe Flacco already won the job? Don't sleep on Dylan Gabriel even after the bad week. Actually, more reaction on that. And a big debut for Cleveland in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.